Welcome to the Business Meets Real Life podcast with business psychology expert Stacy Pitts Caldwell. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a seasoned professional, or simply curious about the dynamics that influence our work lives, you are in the right place.
Through candid conversations, thought-provoking interviews, and evidence-based insights, our goal is to give you the tools and knowledge to foster a thriving mindset, lead with confidence, and nurture a positive workplace culture.
And who am I? I'm your host, OM Caldwell, bringing you the urban perspective. Welcome back to the Business Meets Real Life podcast, the very first episode of 2025.
Woo! All right. It's been a while, so I'm a little rusty.
I'm rusty as well. We had some setbacks.
Well, what are we talking about today?
We want to get into the world of DISC assessments. Right. And the title of this episode will be Decoding Behavior, the Power of DISC Assessments in the Workplace.
I like that. OK, so I don't know if you know. Well, you know, but I did recently, back in August, I think it was, I became a certified DISC facilitator. So I'm excited about that. Happy to jump in. What questions do you have for me about the DISC?
Well, how about you give our listeners a brief overview of the DISC assessment and its relevance in the workplace?
Sure. Okay. So the DISC assessment has been around for a very long time. It is one of the personality tests. It was created by Wiley, and they are very well known in the assessment space. Over 40 years of doing a DISC assessment, they've evolved from doing paper assessments to now online. And really what it does is it looks at your personality, your preferences, and your tendencies. And so that's really how it's different, I believe, from some of the other ones we've heard of, like Myers-Briggs and, you know, a couple other assessments. But I really like DISC for a couple of different reasons. But overall, it is a tendencies and preferences assessment of people.
Okay, great, great. So let's talk about a real world application. How do you use DISC assessments in an organizational setting?
I mean, this is very interview like. Okay, I'm with it. So in an organizational setting, you want to think about teams, right? And coworkers and colleagues. And so how being a business psychologist and thinking about how people work together and the behaviors and the things that they do together that could cause, you know, harmony or even conflict sometimes, just all in communication styles, DISC is really helpful to look at a person's tendencies and preferences and help teach them how to stretch, perhaps maybe to communicate better with a colleague or to manage a team better. So that's really the focus of why organizations, or why the tool is really beneficial in organizations.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a serious question.
Uh-oh.
You can redact the names to protect the innocent, but can you share some examples of a company or a team that benefited from using DISC or incorporating DISC in the workplace or for that team?
Absolutely. I mean, I will redact the names just because, you know, they're my clients, so they're private. But I will say a great example would be like a leadership cohort, right? So if you're in a leadership cohort and you're going through leadership training, one of the tools that this cohort would use is a DISC assessment so that you can understand how to best communicate with other people. And why that's important is because as a leader, you need to understand your own comfort zone and where you are, how you communicate, how you receive information, how you give information, some of your tendencies, what your preferences are. And on top of that, you need to understand that of those you work with, right? So what the DISC does really well is it not only teaches you about yourself and your own preferences and your own tendencies, but also about the other person. And so it's really, it helps people to understand how to approach different situations. So if I'm managing a team, right, and perhaps I'm not getting through to the people I'm managing, I might want to know what their DISC profile looks like, because then for example, if I'm, you know, communicating in a way that they're not receiving it, it's not that I need to change the way I'm communicating because it's my preference. But if I'm a leader, I can shift in what we call in DISC terminology, stretch, to meet the needs of those around me. And so that's really that's the secret sauce for DISC right there. And so a leadership, back to the leadership cohort, going to the benefit there, if you as a leader can identify the areas in which you're strong, which you are a little bit, you have some challenges in communication, what your sort of innate beliefs, how it influences how you communicate with people, what you think about other people. If you can wrap that up and understand it from a more, from an emotional intelligence perspective, then you're able to then figure out how to best communicate, you know, things to others. It's really pretty simple. It's a communication tool. When we think about it from the perspective of organizations and leaders.
Okay. So you use the word emotional intelligence. And that's a buzzword. I mean, you use it all the time as well.
I don't know if it's a buzzword. I don't know if
I think it's a buzzword for when people act out, lash out. It's like, oh, you lack emotional intelligence.
You're
it's like a backhanded. It's really low like, EQ. Oh my God, I can't stand
it. It's one of my favorite topics, though.
So how does emotional intelligence tie in? Is that measured through the DISC assessment, or is that just something you can identify that through the assessment, a person may have low emotional intelligence, or they may lack the ability to tap into their emotional intelligence in a stressful situation, or, you know, how does that work?
That's a really good question. So DISC has a couple of different assessments, right? So it's one, let me run that back. It's one assessment that you can take as an individual, right? Mm-hmm. Once you take that one assessment, there are three different sort of tracks that it can give you results. And Agile EQ, which we call emotional intelligence in psychology world, is EQ, is one of them.
Okay.
And so what this can help you, so it takes what you've already answered, and this is not, you know, this is something that helps you as well. So it gives you what your emotional intelligence strengths are. So for example, my DISC style is ID, and I guess I should tell you what the four components
are. Yeah, let's break the four components down.
So D is dominance. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about dominance, and I want to be careful with the word, because a lot of what DISC does really well is try to make sure that people aren't taking these words and saying, okay, I'm a D, so I'm dominant in everything I do. Right, you know, I'm an S, so I'm steadfast in everything I do. So we don't want to do that, but I will share with you what those mean, just so you can get the basics of it. So there's four basic, you know, DISC, DISC. Those are directly related to the four profiles. And they're four basic styles. So D is dominance. So that means someone who's direct and firm.
Right.
I is influence, someone who's outgoing and enthusiastic. S is steadiness, someone who's even tempered and like accommodating. And then C is conscientiousness, someone who's analytical and reserved. And so from those four basic styles, there you can combine styles, right? So you might have a D, someone who's a D, somebody might be a DI, somebody might be an ID, somebody might be an S or an SC. So those combinations are important. So back to what I was sharing about my style. So I am an ID style. And so people with my style tend to be confident and high energy and enthusiastic about opportunities to like innovate and connect. Mm-hmm. And so that ID, so I influence, D dominant. So there are people who are DI, so they're dominant first and then the influence is second. So there's lots of different combinations for those. But back to your question about emotional intelligence and how it plays in. And so when you are taking the DISC assessment, you have the opportunity, or whoever your facilitator is, has the opportunity to also include some more of this information for you. And mm-hmm. one of those is what we call Agile IQ, EQ. And that really measures your EQ strengths. So there are different ways to be emotionally intelligent, right? And so everybody has some sort of strength in that area, and this really measures it out for you. It also tells you, you know, the areas that you're not so strong in. So we call this beyond your comfort zone. So what are the areas that are going to be a stretch for you beyond your comfort zone? And so that is how DISC will relate to emotional intelligence. And it does a really good job. So that's one of the things that I think is also useful, especially as you're developing a team who may not have even had any association or understanding of how EQ shows up in the workplace. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense.
Okay.
So let me ask you this question. How can leaders use DISC to better manage their teams? Because in previous podcast episodes, we talk about leadership style. We talk about good leaders, bad leaders, leaders who are indifferent. How can this kind of hone in on a management style that makes a better environment for the entire team, or make the manager or the leader an actual better leader by saying these are the areas we recognize are growth areas for you, and these are areas where you're, I don't know, I'm not the psychologist, but like, you know, I'm assuming all assessments tap into what you're good at, what you're weak at. So how can it really make a leader better at their job?
Okay. So yes, assessments are tools just to see sort of from a benchmark perspective where a person is, right? And so with DISC, it's less about, I think the unique thing about DISC is it's less about using it to manage others and more so about using it to understand yourself to communicate better with others. In return, also understanding how others communicate. So everybody is compromising, right? It's not the leader bending their communication style to everyone on their team. That shouldn't be. What it should be is having the leader understand their team members,
okay,
and helping the team members to understand their communication style so that they can come up together with a way to communicate that makes the whole situation better, for lack of better terminology here. But something you bring up, you asked me earlier, and I do want to sort of circle back a little bit to give you some more in-depth insights here on the differentiators between the DISC assessment tool and others.
Okay.
Especially particularly for leaders, I think DISC has a behavioral focus, and that is going to be very unique. MTBI or MBTI or the Big Five, those don't have any type of behavioral focus. So the behaviorals, the psychological traits, the subconscious drivers, all of those things are what DISC emphasizes. So in the assessment tool, which if there are any, you know, psychologist folks listening, has high validity and high reliability ratings, which is just, is the test consistent over time? Is the test measuring what it says is going to measure? Those ratings are really high. And so that gives you the reliability and the ability for leaders to trust that over time, mm-hmm, the test is still, you know, measuring what it says is going to measure.
Okay.
And so the behavioral focus is really allowing for a straightforward analysis of how individuals interact, lead, and make decisions.
Okay.
So that's one secret sauce. The other is what you're talking about, the practicality in the workplace orientation for DISC. And the DISC assessment is particularly tailored for professional development, team dynamics, and workplace communication. Its outputs are like actionable. They're not something that is internal and the person only has to, you know, use it on their own. So one of the really cool features of this that I like to use in the teams that I manage is their online platform.
Right.
Because I can select, let's say you and I are going to be on a team together. Maybe it's a project team. Maybe we don't even work together yet. But I know, oh, you're going to be on a team with me and you've taken the DISC before.
So stop it right there.
Okay.
I took the DISC before.
Oh.
Courtesy of Business Meets Real Life.
You certainly did.
So I'm okay with using me as an example.
Okay.
My style is D.
And just straight D. No DI, no ID.
Careful.
I know, sorry.
I want to keep a clean rating. Okay. But so it says people with the D style tend to be direct and assertive, prioritizing quick results and swift progress. You'll get to know more about what your D style means for you. But first, here's a quick overview. So I'm D, and I'm like on the far edge of the green little D.
What is the wait? So let's give a visual. So the disc has a circle. It's like a sphere, and they're quadrants. So they're split up into four quadrants. The D is upper left. The I is upper right. The S is bottom right, and the C is bottom left. So when you say you're closest to the the inner lines or the outer edge?
It's like my entire quadrant is green.
Okay.
And then it says D, U, but I'm all the way in the D, but a little bit towards the outer line, I guess.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep. It makes sense. So that means you have a strong inclination to the D style.
Well, let me tell you what my D story is.
Okay. Tell me your D story.
You probably have a high need for variety and forward momentum. Because of this, you may get easily bored or restless if forced to slow down for too long. That's me. Sitting still may be agonizing for you. When you reach your goals, you rarely take time to celebrate. Instead, your attention and stress quickly shift to the next goal. Yeah, I'm like that.
I could agree.
I like to just keep moving. I don't mm-hmm. like to waste time on reflection or, hey, let's have a debrief. No, I want to go to the next thing because I feel like there's always a shortage of time and we're running out of time. So that's something else we can discuss in another episode. But yeah, so I'm a D. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
I'm a D. I'm on your team. How do you handle me?
So if I'm putting together a project team and I'm like, he's a D, which means I know he's direct and firm. That's the first thing. So what I can also do is go online, select you and me together, and it gives us sort of this informational, you know, super story. And what it tells me are our similarities and our differences, right, based on style. It also, though, tells us to compare our tendencies. So, for example, accommodating or strong-willed, right? So both of us are strong-willed because I'm ID, right? So I'm a little bit softer. I'm a softer version of your style. Or I would say a more influential version of your style.
So let me ask you real quick this question.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm more of a D and a little S, would it read I'm a DS?
No.
How does it read, left to right? That's what I'm just curious about.
So you can only go in the quadrants that are, you'll never get a DS, but you could get a DI or a DC and okay. vice versa. So it has to be next to one of the basic profiles.
Okay.
If you look at your map,
I can see that.
I have
this equal amounts of red and yellow.
Okay. So yellow is conscientiousness.
Right.
And red is influence. I'm curious. So what parts of influence, do you see a little influence in there?
I can, you know what I am good at? If I'm in a group setting, I can influence the team to bend to my will. I can do that.
Okay.
No, are we talking? Well, I thought we were having a candid conversation.
We are, but it's not influence in that way.
Okay,
it's to relate to others. So the eyes are people who can relate to others, who can bring the energy in the room. Not direct the energy in the room, but just bring the energy to the room.
Okay.
But that's very D of you to say. anyway.
But then there's a little yellow, and I am analytical, but I'm mostly analytical in my personal life where mm-hmm. I'm always analyzing and mostly professional too. I have moments mm-hmm. of where I'm analyzing things in a, you know, I may overanalyze and have paralysis through analysis because mm-hmm. I'm overthinking. And so maybe I overcompensate my D because I want to get past the I and, you know, thinking like, oh, I overthought that. So let me just be more forceful.
Well, let me be clear.
Okay.
All profiles have a combination of all of each letter.
Okay.
It's how prevalent those are, right? That's where you get your style. So if you had a little bit, if the questions you answered were a little bit more on the high energy, you know, enthusiastic side, you might get a little bit more I.
Okay.
If you never get S, right? And that's because it's a direct opposite on the wheel, or not the wheel, on the map, which is like a circle, you know, with four quadrants. So you would only be, you'd have a little, I could see you having a little C. C is conscientiousness. And that is analytical, sort of kind of like sometimes doesn't show emotion, just want to get it done, not interested in the fluff or the woo, as we say.
Right.
Which is a direct opposite. So you'll never get an I, you'll never get an IC or a CI either, because those are just, they're just complete opposites on the map there. So for me, relate to others, period. It's just very simple. Like how, you know, we want to ask questions and we want to provide feedback in meetings and one-on-one and team retreats and all these things. But there is value in understanding how people naturally, what their natural inclinations are, right? So some people are naturally private. Some people are naturally structured. For example, I am naturally unstructured. what does that mean? Why does it matter? Because if we're in a meeting and we're working on a project together, if I'm unstructured, mm-hmm. you may come into the meeting looking for an agenda.
Right,
you might
right.
look for parameters for the project, and I might come into the meeting wanting to create this environment of soliciting ideas out or teasing ideas out from people to create that on demand. That would be a point of contention for someone who is super structured. So what I would need to do as the leader of that team is understand, hey, I've got a couple of D's and a couple of C's on my team, so I need to provide an agenda at least, right? And what you all would need to do is understand, okay, our the leader of the project leader is an ID. So we can expect a little bit of like feelings and vibes and energy.
Right, I get you.
And that's not something that they would normally lead the meeting with. So it helps people, both sides, leader and team, to understand each other in a better way, just to help things move forward. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So I'm getting ready to pull up my personal development and career growth umbrella. You ready for my question?
I am.
I know I'm super serious. But I just want to know, how can individuals use their DISC profile for self-improvement?
Yeah. Because you definitely want to understand. It's think about DISC as a focus on development rather than diagnosis.
Ah.
Right? And so the DISC assessment is less about diagnosing personality traits and more about fostering self-awareness and improving interpersonal effectiveness. It encourages reflection, right, on mm-hmm. how behavior affects others and how to adapt to enhance communication and relationships.
Okay.
And so with all the different modules, for example, Agile EQ, we talked about, they also have management style. They also have the work of leaders. Mm-hmm. So these are all different parts of the DISC that you can draw insights from about yourself.
Right.
And so anything that you can do that based in your own preferences and based in your own tendencies is like an automatic self-development tool, right? To learn more about yourself. So if I can give you an example, we're thinking about, we talked about EQ a lot earlier, mm-hmm. and you know, it's one of my favorite subjects. And so for me, one of my EQ strengths, so what I'm really strong in, is being able to seize opportunities, being able to inspire and persuade others, right? And the reason why that's tied into emotional intelligence is because you have to know how to read other people in order to connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is according to DISC, my effect on others, you know, other people tend to follow my lead, they tap into my passion, I'm able to see new possibilities, and, you know, they can feel overwhelmed by it. So that's something I have to be cognizant of, right? Now, the needs power your strengths.
Okay.
Okay. So for me, I need the freedom to explore. I need excitement and variety. I need to have some influence on people and decisions and to be connected and in the loop.
Oh.
So those are right. So when I tell you things like, hey, let me know. I didn't know what's happening. You know, that's part of my style, just my personality style in general. So that's really key in the self-development, self-awareness. These things are all tied in together.
Okay.
But then there are things like beyond your comfort zone, which we call stretching. And that's what leaders are great at. Good leaders, I should say. Mm-hmm. So good leaders are less, they do the work, they do the development, they do the work on themselves, but they're also really keen about figuring out how to connect with the people around them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in the same module, Agile EQ, there's a section called Beyond Your Comfort Zone. And that's the area where it says, okay, based on you and your style, here's where you need to shift or stretch or, you know, change how you view something to be able to connect with others. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. So that's great for self-improvement. Mm-hmm. I've needed some to hear that. Are there any misconceptions about DISC you want to clarify that the average person, if they go into work one day and the HR team says, hey, we're going to do a DISC assessment for everybody. I'm sure some people freak out. Right. And so what are some of the misconceptions that, you know, because I think DISC is good in the right hands, but, you know, like anything in the wrong hands, it can be misused.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things you would like to clarify about DISC?
Yeah. So what you just said is tiptoeing around like dark psychology, right? Ooh, well, so
I didn't say that. I am not a CIA operative.
I can say that. I'm the psychologist. I can say it, right? So there are people who are going to use anything in the way as a manipulative tool. I don't know why I fumbled through that word. Anyways, and because of that, you know, a lot of people will take it and make it so that they put labels on people. For example, someone takes the DISC and they're like, he's dominant or she's dominant. So I'm never going to be able to get through to them. This automatically in their mind means that they're not warm or they're not friendly. And this is just not the case. And so that's why I really actually like DISC, because you're a D style does not mean that you have only the characteristics of D.
Right.
Every style is a combination. It's just where are your preferences and your tendencies. So you have some I, you got a little bit of C. I have a little bit I have a little bit of D as well. A lot of bit actually, because I'm pretty close in the middle there.
Right.
But the point is, someone could assume that they know because of these words, these adjectives that we're using to help people understand what these profiles mean. They can assume that you're not something else. They could stereotype, right? And I'll share this quick little example. When I have a project team, I like to have a diverse team. And there's value in diversity in terms of diversity of thought, in terms of having people who have different DISC styles come together on a project, because you're going to get all angles covered, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost always want a C on my team, because that is the profile that I am completely opposite of. But they're analytical. They are you know, sort of heads down, get the work done, very straightforward. And that will rein me in sometimes. Sometimes I need to be reined in. You know, I'm big ideas, I'm innovation. So once things get to the process phase or the repetitive phase, I'm usually out. Like that's my exit to the project. Yeah, that's my exit from the project. And so there are benefits for all of those styles. And so yeah, people who are gonna take the DISC may feel like, okay, if I get labeled a D, that just means I'm aggressive, or that means I'm this, or people are gonna think I'm that. And so one of the things, we all DISC styles and priorities are equally valuable, right? Everyone is a blend of all four styles. What DISC is doing is elevating and sort of sharing out your main preferences and your main tendencies, right? And then your work style is also influenced by other factors like life experience, maturity, professional maturity. That's something I used to talk about years ago because, you know, that's important to understand. And educational background. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of things that influence it. But what this helps you do is just really provides you a tool to just communicate, connect, and work together better.
I love it. That is beautiful. What do you want listeners to take away from DISC? An assessment. Should they use it for professional development, career advancement, or should it just be, you know what, you need to know what type of person you are in the workplace and what type of personalities you jive with in terms of, you know, it's hard being on teams in the workplace. I agree. Sometimes I might be a little bit too much for someone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, someone may be too much for me, or I doubt that. You can't have too many D's in one room.
See? And that's label. But remember, every D is still different. It's a blend of different styles. So your combination of D and somebody else's combination of D are different, even still. But that's a great point. And what you also can do is you can compare. How do you work with another D? Right? Those are the opportunities there. So I think your question was, what is the biggest takeaway that I want to see for people the DISC? I got really excited about the DISC because it became a really good way for me to help people understand their preferences and their tendencies. And oftentimes, if you have gone through your career and you've never done any assessments, or you've done a couple and just took it and that was the end of it, it's really hard to see what your tendencies are outside of yourself.
Right.
And so what the DISC is really good at is it allows people to, one, keep continually working and understanding their self. So self-awareness, but two, understanding that you have to stretch to get things done, right? It's not our way or the highway. That's just not how it works.
What?
No. And team dynamics are huge. I mean, that's the cornerstone of DISC. It's the cornerstone of like progressing forward. And so you have to be able, otherwise you'll just have high turnover all the time.
Yeah.
So why have high turnover if you can, you know, find someone can say, hey, Stacy, can you come in, do a DISC assessment for my team, and then facilitate some training so that we understand how to work better together.
Right.
That's really all DISC is. And so it has this sort of non-comparative approach. And so the DISC avoids labeling certain traits and styles as better or worse. Not about that. Instead, it fosters a non-judgmental understanding of individual differences and emphasizes that all the styles can contribute value depending on the context. And then, you know, they're different modules. So I told you about, so this, the basis of DISC is very simple. It's a personality, you know, traits assessment, and they're going to draw what your preferences, what your tendencies are. But to go deeper, there are some additional modules. So you can look at workplace, meaning these are your coworkers. And so you look at how you all work together. They have management. So how are you as a manager? How do you lead? What are your leadership preferences? So that's another one. They also have sales. Sales is another module that they have. So how are you, what are your strengths as it relates to being someone who's in sales? And then we already talked about agile EQ. Right. And they also have the work of leaders, conflict resolution. So thinking about all of that, the best investment you can do for your team to get the highest amount of productivity and connection and sort of, you know, that human-centric focus for the team is to do an assessment like this and have someone come in and give you some insights on how the team can work better together.
All right, I'm going to end on that note.
Okay.
How can people reach you? Give them the website.
Okay. I can be found at www.businessmrl.com. As you already know, I think, I don't know if we ever talked about that, but I'm a coach, also provide consulting for organizations. DISC is one of the leadership assessment tools that I use. And along with the assessment, you can also, if there's someone who's just really struggling, we can do some, you know, executive coaching or some disc coaching with them as well.
Okay. So yeah, they can fill out the inquiry online and
they can, if they're interested, they can. Absolutely.
Okay. You heard it from Stacey Pitts Caldwell, the coach. Get your assessment. Get yourself dissed up.
Oh gosh.
But this was good. Yeah, this was good.
It's a good tool.
All right. I want to thank you for your time. As always, I appreciate chatting with you.
You're welcome.
You know, business meets real life.
All right. See you next time.
Next time.